He's underway at the completion of the first over Indian 2-4-64. Earlier start to make up for time lost yesterday. Joining us to talk all things cricket, Bryce McGain. Bryce, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Very well, thank you. This fourth test, very precariously placed, was heading in that direction yesterday afternoon before the rain came. A build-up of dot balls, and it looked like something was going to give, but now the rain came along and disrupted that, and the Aussies looking to continue on with that tight bowling this morning.
Yeah, they certainly will be. The Aussies were a bit antsy last night, in actual fact, because they weren't getting out on the ground. The issue wasn't necessarily with the wicket, it was with the outfield and a few spots in the outfield, and that caused a lot of frustration in the Australian camp, and probably the spectators too, who are sitting there waiting for some test cricket action. It's been an unbelievable series, but of course, I guess they can make up time in the remaining few days, that they're not going to lose a lot of cricket in the overall scheme of the game, but frustrating nonetheless for those who are wanting to see some action at the end of the day, and probably to see a few Indian wickets fall too.
Plenty of chatter around on social media in regards to the rain rules in cricket and maybe the need to revisit them in this modern day to get play on the ground. It's all about the money and the people coming to pay to watch the game and TV rights and the like, and people want to see cricket. I think as long as the run-ups and the pitch is fine, Bryce, it should be play on.
I think so, and I think we've found out the limits to that in the Big Bash, where there have been some heavy showers, in fact, heavy rain that is passing through. In that respect, it does affect the wicket a bit, and I understand that they want to keep the conditions in test matches very much similar, but if the outfield is just a bit damp or a bit wet or a few spots, then I think it's play on and let's go with it. Now, the umpires, they can't be blamed. They are applying the rules of the test match cricket, so they can't be squeeze too much for that. They're there to apply the rules, and at the moment, if there's any sort of surface water or water dampness, that they're unable to get back out on the ground. So they're the limitations that are served up to the umpires, but I totally agree. Let's get the action on. Let's get some test cricket being played, because it will certainly turn people away or turn their noses up at what's going on. If it's clear skies and blue over the top and there's no action, that is very, very frustrating.
Australia won the toss and elected the bat. They lost the early wicket of David Warner on Friday, and Harris wasn't too far behind before Labuschagne and Smith went on the defensive and tried to perform the mission to get us out of some trouble. Labuschagne played wonderfully for his 100. I'm sure he would have been disappointed in how he got out. A little bit of a theme throughout the Australian batting lineup, bar Labuschagne, even Labuschagne only getting to 108. There was some really good starts there, but some poor dismissals, particularly Wade, and not able to capitalise on getting to between 40 and 50 and really going on with it. The Aussies probably 40 or 50 runs short of where they should have been.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually, Brent. Yeah, look, I think you've wrapped that up really well. I think Labuschagne batted really well, frustrating the way he went out for 108, and he was dirty on himself. He has high expectations. Once he gets to 50, he wants to get to 150 and beyond. So he was certainly dirty on himself. And look, I think Australia left a lot of runs out there. Terrific batting conditions. It was really a day three wicket prepared that they were playing on in day one. And what that means is that there's no moisture, there's no seam, there's not a great deal of movement at all. Just perfect batting conditions. Good pace in the wicket, good bounce. And there's a number of the players through that middle order. Steve Smith, 36. Wade, 45. Cameron Green, 47. And Tim Payne got to 50, but then checked out as well. So they would all be incredibly frustrated that they got starts and left plenty of runs out there because they were such good batting conditions. So, but I must say again, look, credit to India. This undermanned bowling lineup now, the experience difference between the two teams is about 1,000 test wickets. The difference between the Australian bowling attack and the Indian one, I think they've taken 13 test wickets amongst them. And I thought they performed really well. Their repeat spells were good. No one really got taken to that. They were so disciplined and worked hard the plans, and they executed their bowling. So I just can't help but be impressed with how India have gone about this whole series. It's currently tied up, we know that, and they secure it. If it's a draw at the end of this match, they hold on to the Border Gavaskar trophy, and that would be a monumental performance from where they were knocked over in Adelaide all out for 36. So credit to them, and we certainly, you know, tip of the lid, they've been very, very impressive.
Effectively, they're net bowlers doing the bulk of the bowling, and good to see them stick to their plans, particularly with Steve Smith. We've seen Ashwin really have Steve Smith in a little bit of a tangle with that leg side field, and Washington Sundar was able to come in and replicate that and have him caught at short mid-wicket.
Yeah, wasn't that so clever? And I've been impressed with Washington Sundar. I think he's becoming one of my favourites really quickly with Jadeja out of the team. He is my number one Indian, just for those that are interested. I just love how he goes about the game, batting and bowling. It looks so subtle what he does with the ball. But Washington Sundar's come in. He's taken three wickets. What a fantastic debut. And in conditions that would be completely foreign to whatever he has experienced in his life before. It is just so different. But he stuck to the plan. Obviously, some great information by the Indian coaching staff. So Ravi Shastri leads that. But they would have a team of analysts that are letting them know what you need to do, where those weaknesses are, what percentage of runs, you mentioned Steve Smith, that he scores in certain areas, where should we place that field. So they're very, very strategic, and that's how they're pulling their plans together. They've got a plethora of these cricket analysts that are giving them the right information, and they're certainly sticking to it, and it goes a long way to show how important they are in the modern game in getting the right information and then using that to formulate bowling plans. The Indians have been terrific at it.
The batsman dismissed for India, Sharma for 44 off a brain explosion, I think is probably the best way to describe that. And Shubman Gill was caught by Steve Smith off the bowling of Pat Cummins. But their fate rests with the pair at the crease at the moment. If Pujara and Rahane can get away, they could really push this lead of 304 at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, they're not getting away too fast, that's for sure. 8 off 56 balls is Pujara, and Rahane, 5 off 27. So they're literally just baby steps to get away from us. But, yeah, look, the Australians know what they need to do, and that's repeatedly bowl to their strengths, and that, as in the Australian strengths, and keep attacking and making it very difficult to score. And the Indians, we know they've got other gears, but for now, they are just building this partnership, and so important this first hour. This morning, just a critical scenario, day three. This is the real moving day that happens in Test match cricket. The games can be won and lost here. So India will look to deny for as long as they possibly can. And they know they've got acceleration down the order as well with Rishabh Pant, and he can get things accelerating. But for now, it's certainly about denying the opening bowlers and the in this first hour and making sure they protect that lower order.
Just some pictures on the screen at the moment of Tim Payne, very vocal, wanting to get on with the game yesterday when the rain had cleared, and just relying on the outfield. Tim was at the head of most discussions at the back end of the third test in Sydney. From a player's point of view, Bryce, and you know, being involved in cricket myself, maybe is it time for the players to maybe say don't have the stump mics up as much as they have? I know on the coverage on Fox, there's been long stints in the Big Bash and in the Test matches where they just leave the stump mics up. They don't have the umpires mic'd up full time in a game of AFL, and we know what can be said out there. I know it's probably not what people want to see, the way Tim Payne went about with his little incident with Ashwin in the Sydney Test, but that's part of the game of cricket, as far as I'm concerned. At any wicketkeeper, whether you're keeping for Australia, Victoria, or the Robin Vale Falls, if you need some wickets at a vital stage of the game, and you're up to the stumps, you're up there giving a little bit of chat.
Yeah, look, in terms of the stump mics, I think they should just leave them. I think it gives an incredible insight to everyone's lounge room as to the action out there. The sounds, not only the vocal talking of the players, but it really brings the atmosphere and the pressure out there. You know, even just hearing the spikes on the scratching on the surface of the pitch and things like that, maybe not so good for Steve Smith, but anyway, that's a whole other argument there. But just being able to see, you know, just feel the whole atmosphere that's out there, I think is really important. And the stump mics give a good indication of that. They give a good indication whether the team is up and about now. I think it's up to the players to control their behaviour rather than directing their anger and frustration of the moment towards the opposition, maybe turn that back into how they can best support their own team and the like. So that's where you can get the atmosphere and the pressure when they're talking amongst themselves. Gee, there's a lot of pressure on here. Gee, there's another wicket here. We're right into them. Rather than directing it and being nasty and bullying the opposition, it's more about encouraging the circumstances for your own team. And that's how I like cricket to be played. That is hard cricket. I've certainly experienced a lot of that in first-class cricket. And I think the stump mics to give that insight to those sitting in their lounge room is just outstanding. So it's probably more on the players' behaviour, just to be conscious of it.
Just on the flip side, though, when India were here last and Payne was having the chat with Richard Pan about babysitting his kids, yeah. and there were questions thrown around as to how well Virat Kohli was liked in the side at that time as well. When everything was going right for Australia, it seems to be okay, but when everything's not on the Australians' level, and Tim Payne did drop a couple of catches, but one of them was a really tough one up to the stumps, he's copped the beat up when Australia's not going well. Would there had been the same reaction had Australia been able to knock India over there?
I think it was just a frustration at the moment, and the tone, which it was very different. Tim Payne distracting Rishabh Pant by saying, come and babysit, you know, we'll be able to look after you, I'd love to go out with my wife for a movie, and how about you come down and down to Hobart, you'll love it, and all that. Just getting his mind away from what's going on at the game was entertaining, humorous, fun. That's what cricket is. To then start getting really directive and calling people dickheads and things like that, you know, it's just attacking the individual. And as Tim said, he was embarrassed. He was ashamed of how he behaved as the Australian Test captain and behind the stumps there. And I tend to agree. It was not his best moment. But he has taken responsibility, and that's what I have been impressed with his character, to actually stand up and go, no, that's not how I want to do it. I'll tell everyone that. And he went straight out on the front foot the next morning to share that. He's been very open with his interviews. He's been available. He hasn't just ducked in the bunker and you haven't heard from him. I think he's handled it pretty well, and it shows the strength of character to do that. When you know you've made a mistake, you go and confront it. And it's not just once or twice. He's been available to everybody. So I'll probably warm to him even more as a leader because of those things. Yes, he had a bad day. Yes, he did the wrong things. He knows it, and he shared it with everyone, and now he's stepping up his game to be better from it. And I think that's a good example for everybody. There's just no place in cricket, really, to just start abusing the individual out there, the batsman in particular, which often is that one way from the fielding team towards the batters. So I think he's dealt with it pretty well. Had the result been a bit different, if they were still getting wickets, I'm sure he wouldn't have done it. He was just frustrated and lost the plot, and probably complicated and magnified by the fact that he was the one dropping chances. And so that's how it goes. I'm sure the frustration wouldn't have been there had they been just rocking and rolling through the lower order.
Big Bash games on yesterday, couple of, decisive results in the end. The Sixers getting over the line quite comfortably with 7 balls to spare over the Scorchers, and the Spice Man came to town for the Stars last night.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the Spice Man, a couple of nights ago at the MCG, great to have cricket back at the MCG, wonderful stuff. And it was the Stars that played the innings really well. They set it up. And they were really subdued. They only had 57 off their first 10, so that's the Bash Boost point. It was pretty achievable for the Strikers, I thought. Left the door open. But then the Stars just accelerated. They upped the ante, and they back-ended it. And as you mentioned, Andre Fletcher, the Spice Man, he just exploded at the end. They took their power surge pretty late. It was a tactical move to take it late, back-end it with Hilton Cartwright and Andre Fletcher. They just exploded. They got to 179, a good score, an outstanding score at the MCG. 180 is very, very hard to track down. And as it turned out, with the gloomy skies and the storms coming through Melbourne, the Stars were able to wrap up the game, and Adam Zampa just tore through them 5-17. Absolutely outstanding. After having a fall in the field, a diving save, hurt his shoulder, his left shoulder, and he looked pretty crippled there. We thought it might have been a bit more tragic than what it looked like, but he just came on, and it was spin to win from the Melbourne Stars. they've lost, through injury, they've lost a lot of their fast bowlers, so they're relying on their spin, and it's working exceptionally well. So credit to the Stars, and good to have them back. And we thought they were just about shot ducks there for a while because their form has been so erratic. They are the most travelled team in the BBL. They've been all over the country. They've been down to Hobart. They've been over to Perth. They've been back to Canberra, up to Queensland, back down to Hobart. They've been everywhere. And now they can settle in. They've got now four remaining games. They had five, including that one they won the other night. And they're in Melbourne, and they're settled. And there's some really good signs there. One of the good signs, Brendan, I do want to point out, is just the care and love that they had for Andre Fletcher and how they've got around him. Dave Hussey, from a player, certainly hasn't forgotten what it's like to be a player when you're just a bit out of touch and not getting the scores you want. He's embraced them. And Andre Fletcher was very vocal in, he said, well, if I was with any other franchise anywhere in Australia, around the world, I wouldn't have been playing. I would have been dropped. But they just kept on caring and believing, and he was so emotional. When he finished the innings, he walked off, and the captain, Glenn Maxwell, they embraced, and it wasn't just a quick hug and pat on the back. He was in tears. He was very, very emotional with the support that he's getting from the Stars. So credit goes to the whole franchise there, and Dave Hussey, the coach. He sets the standards, and that they've got something really special amongst that group. So I would be very wary for other teams. The other game you mentioned, the Sixers, well, they flexed. They're on top. The Scorchers, the white-hot form team, the competition, five wins in a row. The Scorchers started with a blaze, and the Sixers just fought their way back in. They restricted their total when the total could have been anything over 200. It was just extraordinary. They were flying along, but they got wrapped up for 163, and the Sixers methodically just ticked them off. That was at Manuka. Small boundaries can be attacked at Manuka and fast outfield, and the Sixers, they are clear on top by miles, and they get a couple of guns coming back in. They get Sean Abbott and also Moses Henriques from the Test group, so the Sixers get stronger. So they're definitely the team to watch and the team to overcome. If you have any aspirations to winning the title, they're the team to beat.
Good to have some cricket back on in Melbourne, Bryce. Of course, we've got the derby tonight at the G, and then we back it up on Wednesday night at Marvel Stadium. But Sydney will take on Hobart and Scorchers to take on the Heat. In the meantime, we've got the Test match rolling on, and the white ball cricket there to keep us entertained when the Test match isn't there, Bryce. Thanks very much for your contribution this morning.
Great to catch up with you once again.